Welcome back to the RFD Today program. I'm Tricia Braid Terry. Alan Durand is out again today. I expect to see him here Monday or Tuesday of next week. I'll be taking some time off next week. So in the meantime, you'll probably be hearing more from Josh St. Peters. Thanks to Josh and John Kreit for that segment we just heard on energy prices. I'm sure most of you are also enjoying lower gas prices, as we've had a little bit of a break in our checkbooks because of that here around the holiday season. Speaking of the holiday season, I told you at the top of the hour that we were going to talk to my friend Chuck Zimmerman, and he can fill us in on details about electronics and gadgets that you might have received at Christmas time, or maybe you thought you wanted something and didn't get it and are headed out today to pick something up. But Chuck's on the line from his offices in Missouri. Hey, Chuck, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here. Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, too. Did Santa find you?
He did, and just appropriate for our topic, yes, I did get one new electronic gadget, so we can include that in the discussion.
All right. Well, the only electronics that came to our house this year from Santa, well, not only, they were kind of big ones. Each of my boys, Duncan and Ian, got an iPod Shuffle, which is kind of the low end of the iPod range, but for 9 and 11-year-olds, I think that's fine. And then we got a Wii, which kept everyone fully engaged through Christmas Day and into Christmas night until about midnight last night, and I'm kind of sore this morning, I'm ashamed to say, from kidding.
We should all have a Wii.
We should all have a Wii, yes.
But I don't have a Wii.
You would have fun with a Wii. Even my dad was playing with the Wii, and that was quite an accomplishment to get dad interested.
I did finally, when I visited my sister recently, she taught me how to play Guitar Hero.
Ah.
And let's just say that is not something that I'm probably going to be real proficient with.
Well, I was convinced the first day I had my Guitar Hero that I needed to have a rock band myself. But it's probably best left to the PlayStation.
I don't know if you want to go through this in a nice, orderly manner. That would probably just make too much sense. But
yeah.
But I thought, you know, since we're you know, in realizing your audience, it might be good to start with GPS, because, you know, precision in use of GPS in agriculture is definitely growing, and really, it's maybe not mainstream yet, but I dare say that, what is it, over half of farmers maybe now are using at least some basic level of what we call precision, and really the GPS unit is what kind of drives that, but getting away from how you might control your tractor or what have you, it certainly, the GPS unit is one of the key and probably most popular electronic gadgets right now. And that's the one that I got for Christmas.
Well, tell me all about it.
All right, well, for anybody that's out and about much, and even if you're really not a world traveler, I think it's definitely become much more useful than it used to be. So the one I got, we can mention brand names here, can't we?
Of course.
We already mentioned iPod, so there you go.
There you go. I already ruined it.
But, yeah, I got a Garmin Nuvi. That's N-U-V-I. And these little units, I mean, you can get them in different sizes. They, like in this particular case, it's got a rechargeable battery inside of it. So when you have it plugged into, like, your cigarette lighter in your car or to your computer, it charges, and then it runs a long time on that charge. But basically, these things are small, and now, besides showing you directions to get you from one place to the other, they have, you know, the ability to either plug in external, like, memory cards, and you can have pictures on there and music, and they're kind of becoming like we used to call the old combination fax machine and printer and copier and scanner all in ones, you know, that do a lot of different things. But one of the things I wanted to say about it was the first GPS I personally used was on a BlackBerry phone that I had. And so I'm driving out in the middle of the countryside and not fully comprehending that as I'm following these directions, because it was going through some territory and roads that I had never been on before, that this was all dependent on me having a cell phone signal. And all of a sudden, I realized I had no cell phone signal, and therefore I had no GPS working. So I had no clue where I was at that point. So that's kind of a drawback, I think, of depending on GPS on your cell phone, even though there are some pretty good programs to let you do that. So having a dedicated GPS unit, which is getting its signal from the satellite directly, I think is probably a preferential thing. So I just want to kind of throw that idea out there. But, you know, these things let you just, at a push of a button, it tells you where you are, and then, of course, you can put in direction, you know, an address where you want to go to. Or if you just are thinking, well, we want to go out to, we're here in this town, maybe visiting relatives, want to go to a movie, we don't even know where the movie theater is, just, you know, some of them have that option to just touch, like, movies or restaurants, and it'll give you choices of those that are around you and show you where they are and how to get there. I just think they're very cool, and it's the one gadget that I hadn't had in my little gadget box.
In your arsenal. Mm-hmm. All right, well, Chuck, we have a break coming up. We're going to take a couple of minutes here. I'll check the markets, and we will be back with Chuck Zimmerman, and we'll get some more ideas on what you might want to implement in your own house or on your place here on the RFD Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. A place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. Where someone will give you food and shelter after a flood. That place is called America, where we look out for each other. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
Hey, this is the Food Dude, taking your calls about food prices. Nick in Nebraska.
Grain prices have fallen, haven't they?
By 50% or more, but I'm betting you haven't seen the price of your breakfast cereal cut in half, Dot in Delaware.
But the big food companies said...
I know. They blamed high corn prices and ethanol for high food prices, but obviously they were wrong. Or maybe just looking for an excuse to improve shareholder value, I wonder. Learn more at drivingethanol.org. This is the Food Dude telling America, get smart about what you're being fed.
A message from Illinois corn farmers through their checkoff program.
It's time for a check of the opening commodity markets here on the RFD Radio Network. I'm Tricia Breed Terry. The markets have started trading again after a break for the holidays. May corn up 8 now at 4.06. The March corn, let's go back there, also up 8 at 4.06. Jan beans 16 and a quarter to the upside at 9.32. March beans at 9.35 and a half, up 16 and a half. May wheat 6.10 and a half, up 15 and three quarters. July wheat 6.21 and a quarter, up 15 and a quarter. And March oats up 6 and a quarter at 2.25. Jan soybean meal 2.91.10 a ton, up 3.20. And Jan bean oil 31.89, up 58 points. The livestock markets have Feb lean hogs down a dollar to 59.85. The Feb frozen pork bellies 87.80, down a dollar 80. February live cattle 87.05, down a dollar 27. And Jan feeders 93.50, down a dollar 37. February crude is up 86 cents a barrel now to 36.21. Those are the commodity markets on RFD. Back with the RFD Today program, I'm Tricia Braid Terry. Alan Durand has another day off today. He'll be back next week. My guest is Chuck Zimmerman. His offices are in Missouri. I've forgotten, Chuck, what town you live in.
Well, just say we're Jefferson City, Missouri, the state capital, and that's close enough because not too many people know where Holt Summit is.
All right, well.
But, hey, if you've got your GPS unit, you could plug in Holt Summit, and then you'd find out right away.
And I understand through another technology application that you and I both use that you had a great Christmas dinner. I should come find you in my GPS at Holt Summit, drive down, and get some leftovers.
Exactly.
Now, Chuck, well, I'm going to interrupt you. I didn't give you any credibility to begin here other than saying that you're my friend. So maybe I should...
Hey, what else do you need? If you're Trisha's friend, then I think that's enough for most people.
Well, there you go. But professionally speaking, you have your own business and you work in agriculture, doing a lot of blogging work and podcasting, and you depend on a lot of technology for your day-to-day work.
Yes. Zimcom New Media is our company, and primarily we do agricultural communications work, very much like what you do there with RFD, but our focus has been primarily internet-delivered communications, and whether that's to farmers or to consumers, about farmers. And so, yes, it involves using a lot of gadgets, and whether that's computers or audio recorders, now video recorders, and various other accessories that go with all that, from microphones to you name it. It's pretty much a gadget-intensive business, I guess you'd say. So when you're looking at gadgets, especially for the farm or that you might use around the farm, I think there's pretty much, I don't think it's dissimilar than your average consumer out there who lives in town, for that matter. Because what has really driven a lot of the technology and its growth, I think, is the World Wide Web, the Internet, and the accessibility of that. And as somebody wrote the other day, I was reading, they're calling it the ubiquitous broadband Internet access, meaning it's pretty much everywhere now, whether you want to invest in satellite technology or you can get DSL or cable, for that matter. So having said that, I think some things that people ought to consider, they probably have a computer, but maybe a portable version, a notebook computer. They're getting smaller, and they're getting less expensive all the time and more powerful. And seriously, I run a whole business off of basically a notebook computer. And that is something that probably would have been kind of unheard of even just 5 or 6 years ago. So it's moving real fast. So, looking at that, what are some of the other things that are handy? Probably the mobile phone is the next thing. We mentioned GPS, but mobile phones today are really becoming small, miniature computers. And the one that I still think is setting the standard is the iPhone, which I finally got my own iPhone recently when my contract came up for renewal.
Bravo.
Yeah. So, what are the things that you can do with that? Well, like you said, we communicate, besides seeing each other at a lot of meetings or on a phone call, through these social networking services like Facebook or Twitter. People probably, some of your listeners will know what Twitter is, and some are going, what in the world are they talking about? Well, go to twitter.com and you'll find out. But essentially, it's kind of like a little micro-blogging service that lets you post text messages to your account, and other people can subscribe or follow you and read those little messages. And you can send them right from your phone. I pretty much encourage anybody today with a mobile phone account to get an unlimited text part of their plan, because they're not very expensive. And that pretty much covers everything, so that then with your phone, you can subscribe to things like Commodity Update. You can get your commodity markets delivered by text to your phone. So, and you can determine, what commodities you want to follow and what months, how often it's texted to your phone to keep up with markets. I get like an open and a close every day, and that's one way I can keep up with what's going on, whether it's corn or soybeans or hogs or cattle. And but that mobile phone then becomes a centerpiece for your mobile life, of using it to keep up with family and friends by things like Twitter or Facebook now, or just getting your news and information. In fact, I just saw a study by the Pew folks that monitor where things are going in communications, in particular with consumers. And for the first time ever, more people say they get their news and information from the Internet than newspapers. And this is a first. And all the time they've been kind of tracking this. Television's still pretty big. I didn't see radio mentioned there, by the way, but I'm sure it's somewhere in the report. I didn't read the full report. But they were mainly pointing out the fact that people now, more people now get their information, and I don't think it's just sitting in front of their computer. It's looking at that on their phone. Because I can now subscribe to USA Today, ABC News, you name it, and get it on my phone and look at it, read it, watch it, and listen to it.
Now, Chuck, aren't some of these applications, quote, just for kids? I mean, really?
No, and that's the other thing, is there's sort of a major ongoing misinformation out there that this Internet thing is all about young people. And again, I like to look at, facts and figures, because that's just the way I am, and I think most people involved in ag tend to be a little more focused on science and technology. And the reality is that I was going to try to look it up here as we're talking, but people who are over 40 years old, there's more of them using these types of things and on the Internet than, quote, young people. And the reason for that, in part, is because that age demographic over 40 years old is the biggest, is much bigger than the age demographic of young people. And so even though there may be percentage-wise more kids are on the web, the percentage of older people, and, I don't really think 40 is old, by the way, but some people do.
I don't.
But, yeah, anybody over 40, it's such a bigger group of people that even though it's a smaller percentage, it's still more people. So there's a lot more people online that are, quote, old than young. And I know people in their 80s that are recording their own online radio shows, which we call podcasts, and sharing those sometimes with family and friends. Which I think is kind of fascinating when you think about it.
We're headed to another break, Chuck, so I'm going to interrupt you. I'm sorry about that. But
sure.
We're speaking with Chuck Zimmerman, Holt Summit, Missouri. Zimcom New Media is the name of his business. You can find him on Twitter and a lot of other websites, including Facebook. And if you want to find out more about Chuck, his business, AgWired, you can find that as well and get little miniature blogs like we talked about. So much to do online. We'll be back with more from Chuck Zimmerman about gadgets that you might want to pick up for use at home and on the farm here on the RFD Radio Network. Here's today's RFD Livestock Market Report on the RFD Radio Network. I'm Tricia Braid-Terry. Around the Midwest today, the cash hog prices are a little bit hard to come by. We don't have any prices or trends today, but I do have an expectation of 150 head to show up in Peoria and about 100 head in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Again, the other markets, including Zumbrota, Minnesota, Red Oak, Iowa, St. Joseph, Missouri, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Dorchester, Wisconsin, and Norfolk, Nebraska, not reporting. Red Oak, Iowa, I do believe, is closed all this week because of the holidays. Estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection on Wednesday, 42,000 head of cattle. That compares to 105,000 a week ago and 124,000 a year ago, 174,000 head of hogs, 437,000 a week ago, and 419,000 a year ago. That's your livestock market report. I'm Tricia Braid-Terry.
Their families, they're small business owners, and they love living on the farm. If you're a grain farmer, this probably sounds familiar, but I'm actually talking about our local livestock producers. They're just like you in every way. Local livestock producers are an essential part of our community, and like any good neighbor, they depend on us as much as we depend on them. They consume 94% of soybean meal used at home and give us much more in return. The Illinois livestock industry directly employs over 36,000 of our neighbors and families. It generates over $200 million in tax revenue each year. Tax dollars that stay in our local schools and local communities. That's why raising livestock locally raises our community's standard of living, and it's critical to our future. We need our local livestock producers. Support them as much as they support us, our community, and our way of life. A message from the Illinois Livestock Development Group, a coalition of farm organizations dedicated to growing the livestock industry in Illinois.
And we are back with our final segment on the RFD Today program. I'm Tricia Braid Terry. Chuck Zimmerman is on the line. And we've been talking about different gadgets that you might have been receiving or been given, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I need some coffee this morning, Chuck, for Christmas. Or maybe you wanted something and you didn't get it. You can take Chuck's advice and go pick something up. We talked about the Garmin Nuvi. Is that right? Nuvi?
Yep. GPS, because they really, the price for these things is down. You can get very good ones for, you know, I think I was looking online for around $100 now.
Ah, nice.
And, I mean, these things used to be $500, $600 to get one that was really kind of offered all these features, you know. We mentioned the iPhone. I mean, I'm going to kind of focus on that just for another second, because one of the things that when I say it is setting the standard, and it really is more like a little mini computer, is what they call apps now. You can get apps, they're free, or they might cost 99 cents. And these things do all kinds of things that range from, and if you've heard of Google Earth, where you can kind of basically see maps that have been taken of literally your own property and zoom in on it, there's now an app for your iPhone for that. And what's kind of cool about that is that when you look at a particular location, as you tilt your iPod, it actually changes the view that you're looking at, so that you can even see, like, looking down on your house, if you tilt up, you can look down the street. Literally, it's not live, unfortunately, because those are satellite snapshots.
Or maybe still, fortunately, if you don't want to think about people watching you.
It's very cool, because you can see things that are in your yard, and maybe you don't want people to see those things that are there, but somebody is watching.
So don't sunbathe out back and think no one can see you?
I don't know. Mine had snow on the ground when I looked at it yesterday, and that wasn't here. So that means the picture's at least a week old. I know that. But then the other thing I got to mention is digital cameras, too, because they're small and tiny, and I kind of recommend either the Canon, they call them Digital Elf, they're a small power shot, or Casio makes a series called the X-Lim. Those, I think, are some of the best ones for the price. And again, these things are, you know, maybe $150 to $200, but take, you know, awesome pictures. I carry one around as a pro photographer with, you know, the big expensive camera. I still always have one of those little ones with me, because, you know, I may not want to carry the big camera, or, you know, be in a family situation, so you can take pictures of the family. And then, of course, you know, transfer those to your computer, send them by email. I think a digital camera is a must. And the phones are starting to take good pictures. Even the iPhone, it's not the best, but it still takes a pretty good picture, especially if you got enough light. So, you know, cameras, your mobile phone, GPS unit, I think, you know, looking at a mobile computer like a notebook, those are some of the top ones, I think, that actually can have some application to your business as well as just enjoying stuff entertainment-wise, you know.
Are we still in love with the flip video?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when it comes to cameras, flip, F-L-I-P, just search for it online. They're like between, say, $149 to $200, but there's a couple different ones. And, yeah, it just shoots video with audio and lets you plug it into your computer using your USB port. And then if you want to just send that to your YouTube account, it's literally a couple clicks. It is by far the simplest thing I've ever seen to shoot video with. Fairly decent quality, and they now have a new HD version, which is the higher quality, high-definition video. And it doesn't do anything else, but what it does extremely well and very simple.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So Chuck has given us some good ideas. I hope that maybe I can get an iPhone in my office here before 2009.
You have a BlackBerry, don't you?
I do have a BlackBerry, yes.
Yeah, see, the BlackBerry Curve is the one I had before this, and if I didn't have the iPhone, I'd have a BlackBerry Curve. Now it's the Bold, I think, is the new one, because I'm with AT&T. If you really want that Storm, which is the touchpad version, I think that's only on Verizon right now, but
lots of fun. And again, Chuck, let's go ahead and plug your websites for people that want to follow.
Agwired.com, mm-hmm. AGWIRED.com. And I write about these things on there, so you can go and just search for gadgets or what have you. And again, kind of take the perspective of how we might use this in, you know, whether you're farming or involved in agricultural communications or what have you.
And Chuck, where is the next farm event or ag event that you're off to here?
Well, I'm supposed to be at Beltwide Cotton Conference, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. So definitely Cattlemen's Convention. What else is going on?
Well, we'll see you at AFBF. That's in January.
I don't think I'm going to make it to AFBF. For your listeners, I used to work for Florida Farm Bureau Federation once upon a time, so I am a former Farm Bureauan.
Bureauite?
How do you say that?
I don't know.
But anyway, and I am a member of the Missouri Farm Bureau Federation here, so.
All right, well then, I'm going to miss you at Commodity Classic because I'm getting ready to head to China.
Oh.
And guess what?
Where are we this year? At Classic?
Your Classic is in Grapevine, Texas,
near
Fort Worth. So I'm not going to run into you for a while then.
Well, you better get a dictionary because Chinese is definitely not one I'm real familiar with.
All right. Well, I think I'll have people along with me that can take care of that. We've run out of time, Chuck. Thanks so much. It was great talking to you.
I enjoyed it.
We'll talk again soon.
Okay.
All right. Chuck Zimmerman joining us today on the RFD Today program. Follow his adventures in agriculture at agwired.com. You can also get him on your Twitter account if that's what you want to do. We'll talk again on Monday here on the RFD Radio Network.